What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Top 5 week continues here on Fantasy Football Today. And a little follow-up from our movie dad's discussion from yesterday, but mostly we're all business here. We're all football. Christian McCaffrey's going to be number one. We know that. And we pretty much know who number two is going to be as well, but we'll talk about the top five and make some cases for players who are outside of the top five. Adam Azer with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisberg once again. Guys, what was an easier call for you, or were they equally easy? Patrick Mahomes as QB1 or Christian McCaffrey as RB1?
They were equally easy. If you're going to leave me that option, I'm taking it.
McCaffrey was easier.
He's so good. I want to say, I did some research on McCaffrey, and I've concluded that he's awesome.
I hope that took you 30 seconds.
Great research.
30 minutes. Yeah, he's amazing. All right, so he's number one. He's entrenched there, even in non-PPR.
Do you have a favorite stat?
On McCaffrey?
Yeah.
I don't think I've done any notes on McCaffrey. He does not require any notes, but I think I said that he was at least 2.3 points better than any player in any format. That was like non-PPR last year. I don't know. I'll look it up. Let's see. Non-PPR last year. See how much better he was than the rest.
Do you think it's encouraging or discouraging that Mike Davis performed like he did?
3.4. Better than Dalvin Cook, who was number two. Do I think it's encouraging or discouraging? I think it's encouraging.
Right.
I would agree, but I think, you know, some people look at it as, you know, that the offense was allowing this player to perform at this level. You know, so is it going to allow Christian McCaffrey to perform at that level too? Because it's a different offense. Remember, he didn't get a chance to play very much in this offense.
But he did. But he was so good even last year.
I mean, yeah, he was pretty amazing
great
last year.
Yeah, 20 carries a game. 24.4 points per game in non-PPR. That's the thing. People, I'm going to take Henry over McCaffrey in non-PPR. No, don't do it. McCaffrey's the best.
He's given you at least 15 PPR points in 30 of his last 35 games. That's a hit rate of 86%. Let's bump it up to 20-plus PPR points per game. He's done that 27 of his last 35 games. That's 77%. And he happens to have done that in 25 of his last 29 overall. That's 86%. And he's similarly amazing in non-PPR. He is reaching the level that Zeke was at once upon a time. And, I mean, we should just rename it the McCaffrey level at this point because he's so bewildering, amazing, exceptional. He is the 101 in everything but a two-quarterback league.
Well, that's the thing. Why not? In a two-quarterback league in 2019, he averaged 29.3 okay, in any league. In PPR is what I meant to say. In 2019, he averaged 29.3 points per game. In 2020, in only three games, but felt like sustainable, 30.1 points per game. So if he's going to average 29 points per game, it's hard to find quarterbacks who do that. So why not take him number one overall in any format, two quarterbacks, as long as it's PPR?
Oh, I'm okay with Superflex because you technically don't have to go with two quarterbacks in a Superflex league. And I feel like there is a little
crazy
bit of
you're going with two quarterbacks.
It depends on the league scoring. For the most part, you should go with two, but I feel like there's a little less pressure to get that second quarterback higher up in a Superflex. But in a two quarterback, I don't want to deal with the fragility of the running back position that McCaffrey proved last year. Yeah, I'd be good to go with a stud quarterback with Mahomes.
I'm taking McCaffrey number one regardless.
There were only two quarterbacks last year in the year of the quarterback, two quarterbacks that outscored per game 2019 McCaffrey in full PPR. And none of them scored 30 fantasy points per game in 2020. No quarterbacks, but McCaffrey did. So he might be the highest scoring player in PPR scoring. I understand a lot of people are going Mahomes, one overall. Scott Fishbowl is super flex, but it's 4 point per passing touchdown, right?
Right. Yeah. And half PPR, half point for first down.
It's half PPR.
And you get points for completion.
I take McCaffrey.
These responses are so funny.
Oh, on the dad stuff?
So good.
Here's my next question for you guys. Any doubts at all about Dalvin Cook at number two?
PPR, yes.
In any format, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, he should be number two. But, Derrick Henry was awesome. And if he gets any semblance of more involvement in the passing game, then he could be just an absolute monster. Saquon Barkley, if he's back at 100%, could be an absolute monster. Alvin Kamara, if he does get the focal point of the offense, could be fantastic. You know, so Dalvin should be the number two guy, but there's reason to question the guys behind him compare him to the guys behind him.
Yeah, he actually outscored Henry in non-PPR per game. So, and season long or just per game? Just per game.
Not season long.
Right, just per game because he missed two games. That's actually...
But Alvin outscored them both.
Who did?
Kamara and PPR outscored them both.
In full, yes. But I'm saying if you're going Henry versus Cook, who do I take in just standard non-PPR, old school, Dalvin Cook was actually better per game than Henry last year with Henry rushing for 2,000 yards. That's wild. Yeah.
1.3 points per game better.
And... I think injuries, right? I mean, I know every running back can get injured, but Cook, most games he's ever played is 14. How many times last year did he fake us out, right? Leave a game, look like he was out for the year, came back and drive later.
His father passed away last year, so that was...
No, but I think I'm talking about in-game where in-game. It looks like he's hurt and he leaves and everybody gets really worried. And then he comes back in and runs like he's, you know, just needed to like charge his feet with his iPhone charger.
Yeah, iFoot charger. All right, so that's obviously a concern. We'll see how much it matters to people. He's probably going to be the overall number two pick in drafts. We talked about the Scott Fishbowl. Well, you can join us for a Scott Fishbowl mock draft Tuesday night. That's tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, and courtesy of Scott Fish himself, we're giving away spots to this year's Scott Fishbowl League. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, and leave your Twitter handle on the comments of any of this week's videos, any video this week, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Leave your Twitter handle as a comment. I already saw right now it's 3 p.m. Eastern. So the episode we did on earlier Monday, it's been up for a few hours and I see a ton of Twitter handles in there. So this is a great way to try to get in the Scott Fishbowl leagues. It's very fun. Fans, analysts, celebrities, you don't want to miss out. All you have to do is subscribe to youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday and comment with your Twitter handle on any video this week. And good luck to you. And join us at 7 p.m. tonight, Tuesday night, with a Scott Fishbowl mock draft. This is an Eastern time, obviously, because, you know, East is the best. Scott Fish and professional wrestler Eric Young will be drafting with us, and we're giving away spots to the leagues to play against Dave and Jamie. That's tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. All right, top five questions for running backs, or questions for top five running backs is a better way to say it. Who has the most upside outside of McCaffrey and Cook?
Kamara.
We've kind of seen it from him. I think that's good. You know, I kind of want to be, you know, snazzy and say Jonathan Taylor because I think he's got a shot at 2,000 total yards and a ton of touchdowns. So I will. Okay. Taylor. I mean, listen, you could say that about almost any. Henry has given us 2,000 total yards. Kamara can do it. Kamara gives us a ton of touchdowns on top of it, lots of catches on top of it. So if it's PPR, it makes sense. But I think Taylor's got a shot at 2,000 total yards and close to 15 touchdowns as well.
Yeah, the other one for me would be Barkley, just because what we saw from him as a rookie. You know, if he's back to being that guy, then he's going to be better than maybe everybody, including McCaffrey. So I would say for me, it's Kamara, Barkley, Taylor.
Why not Zeke?
Zeke's in that conversation too. Absolutely. You know, if he's, you know, all the reports are fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we should probably say Aaron Jones also, because if Aaron Rodgers stays, then you've seen what Aaron Jones can do. So especially now with Jamal Williams gone, if right. the passing game work increases for him, you know, that could be a superstar. So there's a handful of guys, you know, but to your point about Zeke, you know, you got to be concerned a little bit about Tony Pollard taking on more work. And, you know, was he really slowing down last season? Or was it just the offensive line and no Dak and just that being the reason why things fell apart for him? So, you know, I like what I've heard about Zeke, and, you know, he's still young enough and certainly talented enough and a great offense that he should be a star again. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tony Pollard's role increases just a little bit, just to save some of Zeke's legs. And maybe if they make it to the postseason, that they want to make sure he's 100% by the time they get there.
Is that the end of the list? I mean, we could sit here and make the case for Chubb or Eckler or even Najee.
Mixon.
Right. Like, there's a difference between making the case, but actually, like, believing it. Are there any other running backs that you really believe has a shot at 2,000 total yards? There's only one other one that I think has it, but I don't know if the touchdowns will be there.
Edwards-Helaire is interesting. You know, based on what his upside can be in this offense now that there's really little competition. I think Antonio Gibson's interesting, you know, based on what his opportunity could be in the Washington offense. But look, there's a reason why those guys are being drafted at the back end of the first round, beginning of the second round, what we have them ranked or where they're ranked. I mean, if you were to tell me J.K. Dobbins is going to be a 50 cash guy, he'd be a top three running back, you know, so we just know that's not going to happen. So there's a lot of flaws for these other guys, but the ones that we're talking about have the ceiling higher than everybody else.
Eckler, you want to talk about 2,000 total yards,
mm-hmm.
and you're talking about 17 games?
Sure.
Yeah, I think Eckler could get there. I think he has massive upside if he could just get some touchdowns, and I did bring this up last week, but in his four games without Melvin Gordon to start the 2019 season, he was on pace for... Well, let's see, 1,960 total yards, 96 catches, and 24 touchdowns, 12 rushing, 12.
That would be
good.
Realistic.
Yeah.
That would be good.
So the only reason I bring that up is because those are four games. He had six touchdowns in those four games. They may not be completely afraid of using him near the goal line. You don't know what this coaching staff
we
is
going to
do.
We don't know, right. Yeah. It's a new coaching staff, so new day,
it's
new
a better
way
offensive line. You saw how much he, you know, was catching passes True. From Herbert when he came back from his injury. Mm-hmm. There's just a lot to love about Austin. So this podcast that I did with Fantasy Pros, we were talking about it off the air with Joe Pisapia and Kyle Yates. I had the 12th pick, and it's an exercise that they do with their draft software. So the three of us draft, and then the draft software picks the rest of the teams. And I was left with a choice of Austin Eckler and Aaron Jones at 12. I took Tyreek Hill with the first pick. And it was frustrating because I love both of those guys. And I considered taking both, but I thought just taking the best receiver on the board, Davante Adams, had already gone, was a little bit more – made a little bit more sense. But in any event, I think Eckler is somebody that I draft a lot of, and I'm going to continue to draft a lot of, because if he hits – to that level, 24 touchdowns notwithstanding, he could be a double-digit touchdown guy with the chance for challenging to be in the top three. I don't think if everybody's healthy, he's going to lead running backs and receptions, but he could be in the top three. And last year, the top two were Alvin Kamara and J.D. McKissick. You know, so you don't necessarily have to be a featured guy to be a leader in receptions, but he has that type of upside. And if you catch those as many passes as he can catch, you're going to be a pretty good running back based on the role that you should have.
I tried to, well, you know what, I'll get into this a little bit later. I'm tempting to answer who should number two or number three be if we're going McCaffrey, Cook. I compared points per game over the last really five seasons for Zeke, Kamara, Barkley, and Henry. And I'll tell you what the comparison looks like. It wasn't like I was averaging them out. I mean, I'm only using the last 2 years for Henry. I'm only using 2 years basically for Barkley, and mostly just focusing on 1 year to see his upside. But it's 5 years for Zeke, it's 4 years for Kamara, it's 2 years for Henry, and it's one or two for Barkley. So I'll tell you what those numbers look like in a little bit. And, you know, Jamie, your first answer was Kamara. So let me just, when I asked you who has the most upside outside of McCaffrey and Cook, you said Kamara. Dave settled on Taylor. Let me just ask you this about Kamara.
Just for fun. I mean, I've got Kamara ranked third, so.
Right. Let me just ask you this about Kamara, though. How much harder is that question to answer without Drew Brees? And how much should we be factoring that in?
You got to factor it in. You know, I'm waiting for the next question, which is who has the most downside, because it's Kamara. You know, so
okay, then let's transition. Who has the most downside among the top? I put top six running backs. So.
It's Kamara without an injury, because again, there's a change. You know, and while there's a change in coordinator for Henry, there's a change in coordinator essentially for Dalvin Cook. There's health to factor in with Christian McCaffrey after what you saw a year ago. But I mean, we saw, you know, Taysom Hill is not going to throw the ball to Alvin Kamara to the same level. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was at the start of the games that Taysom Hill started. But I also think you have to factor in that there is a mobile quarterback back there compared to a statue back there. And that's going to be different. It's the same thing with Saquon Barkley. He's not going to catch 90 passes like he did from Eli Manning as a rookie. You're probably hoping for 60 with Daniel Jones. And I think that's realistic. But I think Alvin Kamara in this offense will have a lot more design passes because of the coach. And I think after a full offseason, if Taysom Hill is the starter, he will lean on him in that regard. I also think Alvin Kamara is going to run the ball more than he ever has before because of the change in quarterback, because Drew Brees isn't going to trust Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill as much as he trusts Alvin Kamara and essentially Latavius Murray, which is why Latavius Murray should be on your radar as a sleeper, even without an injury to Alvin Kamara. So, but still, you know, what you're counting on for him is 80 catches. He does that every year when he's healthy. And if he's going to be an 80 catch guy, then he should be the third best running back. But if he's not going to be an 80 catch guy, he's probably going to be closer to 6 or 7.
How nervous are you guys about him? You know, when you just look at, 80 catches, 80 plus catches every year. But you look at 2019 when he scored 6 total touchdowns. He was per game.
Hurt.
Yeah, he was hurt. He was hurt. But per game, he was 14th in non-PPR, and he was 8th in full PPR. And touchdowns were a big reason for that, because he still averaged, I think, like 4.6, 4.7 yards per carry. It's not like he played poorly. And the reason I bring up the touchdowns, you know, is he doesn't, unlike the other running backs in this range, he is not a goal line guy. He has never had more than 53% of his team's carries inside the 5-yard line. Sometimes that's Latavius Murray. Sometimes that's Taysom Hill. But he's not the de facto goal line guy on his team. And if their offense just isn't as good and there aren't as many touchdowns, we've already seen what that looks like for Alvin Kamara, and it's not worthy of the third overall pick in either format.
No, when you put it that way. But we've also seen him. We've seen him play well with other quarterbacks. He played well with Bridgewater 2 years ago. He scored 3 touchdowns in 4 games with Taysom Hill last year. He just wasn't catching the ball a lot. And I lean with Jamie on this one. You mean to tell me that just because they're changing the quarterback, they're going to completely get amnesia over Alvin Kamara and what he could possibly do? I don't see that happening. I went back and I checked to see just how many targets and catches he had in his career from non-Drew Brees quarterbacks. He's got 42 catches, 338 yards, and 1 touchdown. It's a 78% catch rate. It's 8 yards per catch in about 10 games. So I think it's very wise to say that there will be some sort of a decline, and it could be in the neighborhood of 4 to 5 catches per game. But that's still going to be really close to 80 catches. Right. That's still...
Oh, wait. Sorry.
Maybe it's not a decline at all.
It made it sound like the decline was 4 to 5 fewer catches per game.
No. That's how many total he'll have per game. Okay. Which, I mean, I don't have the number of how many he was averaging before, but it's got to be really close to 81 to 83. That's where he was at each of the last 4 years.
Right.
I'm not particularly worried about that. The touchdown issue kind of sticks a little bit more just because of Taysom Hill stealing some, Latavius stealing some.
Right. It's also, when looking at it, though, it's like, you know, you brought this up a lot, Adam, last year. The Broncos game where Taysom Hill started, when it was Kendall Hinton starting a quarterback for Denver,
right?
They didn't throw the ball very much. So
that turned into a Latavius game.
Well, you just throw that game out. I mean, right. You know, and it's just hard to, I mean, he averaged 5 yards a carry in that game, you know, so it didn't have to do very much. The Falcons game and the Falcons game, which is the first one that Taysom Hill started, they won 24-9, you know, so how competitive was it where they, you know, needed Alvin Kamara? And then you go to the Eagles game, which is the fourth game that Taysom Hill started. He had 7 catches in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And they were chasing.
They lost. Right. Yeah. Well, but if you're going to tell me that every game they win or every game that they win easily, he's going to be bad, then again, that's like, you know.
But that's with, you know, Sean Payton tinkering things on the fly. You know, it was Taysom Hill being the quarterback on the fly. And you also, and I'm with you, you know, it's nerve-wracking. But at the same time, okay, he's now 4 games in as a starter. did he feel fully comfortable with the offense and using Kamara more as a pass catcher?
Look, I had the number three pick last week. I took Kamara. I like I said at the, when I we did the show afterwards, I was like, I'm not gonna overthink.
Also had the wrong format.
Yeah, it was half PPR. I thought it was full PPR because it was last year, same league. I still would take him third overall. I'm not gonna overthink it. You know what? He's incredible. He's a great, great player behind an excellent offensive line. If they don't make him the focal point of the offense, they're screwing up. Let's just not overthink it. Dave, so that was Jamie's answer. Who has the most downside among the top six running backs? What would you say?
I'd say Saquon is up there as someone that's got some significant downside. The offensive line, you mentioned it being a big strength for Alvin Kamara. I think it's a huge weakness for Saquon Barkley. And the play calling in New York was kind of uninspiring last year. I know that they got some good numbers out of Wayne Gallman, but I'm nervous about that offense in general, Adam. And I'm not doing this to pick on you or to turn this into, you know, the New York Giants talk show, but I think there's some significant downside for a guy coming off of a major knee injury playing behind a bad offensive line and with a suspect quarterback who seems to be especially affected by a bad offensive line, and especially on a team that added talent in the passing game. So I'm a little nervous to take Saquon Barkley. I want him to fall to five at the absolute. The soonest I will take him is at five.
All right, well, let's get into your rankings then. One, McCaffrey. Two, Cook. Who's number three?
To me, it's format dependent. I like Kamara third in PPR and half PPR. And I like Derrick Henry second in non-PPR. Cook would be third.
Okay, so Henry and non. And, oh, Henry's second?
Henry is second for me in non-PPR.
Oh, Dave.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but I did say Cook was significantly better per game than
I know. I know what you said.
And you know, you even gave me
numbers. I think Henry could see his efficiency go up even more now that Julio's there. And okay, maybe there's a plan for them to take some touches off of him. But, you know, we talk about Derrick Henry having 400 touches in consecutive seasons. I think Cook has, it's either 350 or like 340 touches each of the last two seasons. So it's not as much as Henry, but it's still a lot.
So let me get this straight here.
I still feel like Henry is the better bet in non-PPR because I don't see the catches going crazy for Derrick Henry. Cook's got an edge on him there. They'll both score a lot of touchdowns, but I like Henry better.
Okay, so in non-PPR, you go McCaffrey, Henry, Cook?
Correct.
And in half or full, you go McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara?
Correct.
Okay, Jamie, what about you?
In full PPR, it is McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, Henry, Barkley. In non or half PPR, it is McCaffrey, Cook, Henry, Kamara, Barkley.
So Henry ahead of Kamara in non or half PPR?
Yes.
Okay. So why? Why in half PPR?
I think that Derrick Henry once again can lead the NFL in rushing. I think he's going to have a chance for, you know, 1,800 plus rushing yards again, 15 plus touchdowns again. I think that he's going to be a little bit more involved in the passing game, but not by anything that's going to overwhelm you. But the concerns that I brought up with Kamara in anything where you're not getting a full point per catch, I think warrants consideration.
Yeah, what if those catches go down considerably? What if he only gets 55 catches?
If Breeze were still quarterbacking, would you have Kamara third in half PPR?
In half, yes. In non, no.
Okay. Because, yeah, the numbers... The last few years, here's what Kamara has averaged per game in half PPR. Last three seasons, 20.5, 15, that was his bad year, and 22.4. So 20.5, 15, and 22.4. Here's what Henry has averaged the last two seasons in half PPR, 19.4 and 20.4. So yeah. At his best, Kamara has been two full points better than Henry at his best in half PPR. 3 years ago, Kamara was at 20.5 points per game, and last year, Henry was at 20.4 points per game. So in that sense, they're very similar. You did see more downside, though, from Kamara. But at his best, Kamara has been better in half PPR than Derrick Henry.
It's interesting when you take a look at these offenses because I think most people, when you first say it, would say, oh, the Saints. But which team has the better offense right now?
Yeah, the Titans.
The Titans.
Right. And it's number one receiver.
Yep.
Comparable.
Certainly number two receiver.
Number two receiver.
Quarterback, you're going to give the edge to the Titans.
Quarterback, well, potentially, but I think most people give the edge to the Titans. And running back is kind of a wash.
Yeah.
They're just so different. They're so different.
So different. Yep. All right. Number four running back is, I know
Henry. For me, it's Henry in full PPR and half PPR, or not half PPR.
I think we're the same, 1 through 4 in PPR.
1 through 5 in PPR. Yeah. Yeah. Henry's 4 for me in half PPR as well. And then in non PPR, let me check. Make sure it's Kamara. It's Kamara.
In non PPR, it's Kamara. And
yeah, non PPR for me, McCaffrey, Henry, Cook, Kamara.
Who's 5?
Saquad.
Jamie, what's your top 5?
It's the same 5 in PPR. In non PPR, I have Taylor over Barkley.
All right, so we're looking at McCaffrey 1 everywhere. We're looking at 2 through 4, depending on format, is some combination of Cook, Henry, Kamara. And then 5 is Saquon Barkley for Dave and Jonathan. You said Jonathan Taylor?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And in non-PPR, you like to.
I'm almost at the point of putting Zeke ahead of Barkley as well.
Got some tough choices to make, huh? Why not Aaron Jones? He's been top 5 2 straight years.
If you tell me for sure that Aaron Rodgers is there, then Aaron Jones will probably be in my top 5.
How about you, Dave?
I don't think he'll be top 5. There's still a lot of ifs to play out. If Saquon Barkley is healthy and if he's ready to go for the start of the season with no limitations, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, if Tony Pollard doesn't take away more work than he has in the past, if Jonathan Taylor just completely turns Marlon Mack into a bench role guy, a 2-touch-per-game guy, this is where the ifs start coming in. I think Jamie talked about this. These are some of the like minor nitpicks that we've got to put on some of these guys.
Right. And Jones, you know, like we said, or like I said before, you know, he could easily pick up those, I think it's 31 catches that Jamal Williams left, you know, by going to Detroit. But how much does he lose from AJ Dillon? And how much as a rusher, you know, how much does he lose goal line opportunity? I mean, he scored 25 touchdowns the last 2 seasons, you know, and obviously when you look at the two, one's 5'8 and one's 5'11, you know, and it's one's got quads that are bigger than the other guy's body. So it's kind of hard to say that Aaron Jones keeps all those chances and Dillon, maybe if he gets the hot hand and starts to get rolling in a couple of games, then they use Jones more in the Williams role completely for that game specifically. And then you're just looking at a guy that is going to be A, touchdown dependent, B, reception dependent, and how much of that will be contingent on who's the quarterback, you know, for that particular game. Because Aaron Rodgers can still be the quarterback for the Packers, but he may not show up until whatever day he's got to show up to accrue the amount of games he has to keep the season so he can get out of there sooner than he wants to.
I think this is interesting information just along those lines of Jones and Dillon and what role they might play. Last year, Aaron Jones on carries of 3 yards or closer, 18 for 34. That's anywhere on the field. If you get near the goal line, it's 3 for 8. So he wasn't exactly money every single time he was up against the goal
line. What's the league average?
Or in short yardage. Most of these running backs I'm finding are close to 60%, if not significantly over 60%.
So that's bad.
Right now, I haven't finalized the study yet, but there's some running backs I haven't gotten to, but it's not great.
And look, they have a new center. They have a new center. They have a left tackle that's coming back from significant injury. Reports are he's going to be fine. So, you know, there's reason to have some flaws with Aaron Jones, but I think, you know, again, for what he's accomplished for the last 2 seasons under Matt LaFleur,
it's tough to overlook.
Fantastic. And again, you know, if they ran it back for a reason from a front office standpoint. They thought that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender, you know, NFC Championship game each of the last 2 seasons. They feel like their defense is better. So if Aaron Rodgers comes to his senses and says he wants to play for the Packers and that's something that is going to make him comfortable, then you got to be excited about Aaron Jones. Like I have Aaron Jones in a keeper league with a third round value. I'm ecstatic about that if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. I'm still loving it if Aaron Rodgers is not the quarterback, but not as much.
Yeah. And look, I mean, you mentioned their front office. Their front office has had a really good offseason. So everything's gone very smoothly.
Oh, yeah.
Some members of their front office.
As far as Ezekiel Elliott goes, I want you all to know, here's where he's been per game in 5 seasons. And this is, let's take last year and let's just take the Dak Prescott games. He's been top.
You shouldn't evaluate the Cowboys based on the non-Dak Prescott games?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are reasons to be concerned. He was pretty disappointing without Dak, but with all that offensive line was also one of the worst in football.
I hate to say this, but I think he quit. I think he, you know, like, why am I going to burn myself out for this?
Well, they were in the playoff race, if you recall. They all were.
Yeah, but I mean, again, but... I'm totally speculating. I have no idea. I didn't speak to anybody about this. This is just, you know, watching him. Like, he just didn't look like he wanted to be there.
He was playing hurt.
Humbling on purpose?
He was playing hurt.
Can you blame him?
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, if that's the case, yes, I would blame him for not playing hard. Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, you're paid to play hard, but the numbers suggest, like, this isn't going to surprise anybody. 106.7 total yards per game with Dak, 79 total yards per game without Dak.
But it was basically like, we're going to kill you.
right.
You have no line and no quarterback.
Right. So it would be interesting to go back and watch. And I can do this. I've got the time to do this, to see just how often he was fighting for yardage and trying to make an impromptu play, something like that, versus I'm about to get hit. I'm going to go down and preserve my body. It's an interesting theory.
I won't go through all the per game numbers. It's obviously he's been elite. He's been top six every year per game when Dak Prescott has played. But the problem is that people are noticing he may not be the same player anymore. In the last two seasons, he's averaging a 20-yard carry, 20 or more yards, once every 78 carries. In his first three seasons, it was once every 29 carries. But even with that, 2 years ago, he wasn't getting big plays, and he was a top five running back per game. So he catches the ball. Their offense is really good. Their offensive line is, PFF has them as like number seven, top five maybe? I don't know.
They're up there, but that's presuming they stay healthy.
I think they were top seven at worst. So
yeah, when they're healthy, they've got a good front five. They got Nsekhe to be their swing tackle. I think that's a plus.
This is why you draft Tony Pollard. This is why you draft Gus Edwards. This is why you draft Daryl Henderson and
throw AJ Dillon in there.
And Latavius Murray and AJ Dillon, because these guys are in good offenses that if they ever get the chance to be the featured guy, we saw it with Tony Pollard last year. Mm-hmm. If he has a chance to be the featured guy, he could be awesome. And so, you know, Zeke should still dominate touches. I mean, he's going to be at least a 70% touch guy. There's no doubt about that based on how they've operated in the past. But it may not be a 90% touch guy like we've seen when things have been going right for him. Because, again, I think they want to preserve him. They also realize that Pollard can be a good running back if given the chance.
Tough schedule, too.
All right, we basically have covered the top five. Let me ask you this. I know that the three of us, to varying degrees, just kind of uneasy about spending a very high pick on a guy who's had so much work like Derrick Henry. You know, are we still feeling that uneasiness, or have we just moved past
it? I'm resigned to the fact that Derrick Henry is like the Terminator, and it doesn't matter how hard you hit him, he's just going to come right back up and plow into your defense for 10 yards on the next carry and 20 yards on the carry after that. He is a machine. He told us in person at the Super Bowl 2 years ago when we said, "How are you feeling?" He was like, "I feel great. I could play another 16 games right now." That was in February after the year ended, and then he went out there and he did it. So he's an anomaly, man. And if you sit next to him, you see it. I mean, he's built like a linebacker. He's unbelievable. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm not worried about the workload on him.
Okay. I've asked former players. I can remember.
Plus, like, he's jumping onto like giant boxes with chains around his arms and alligators, you know, eating his kneecaps. They've got lions helmets on. he's doing these incredible, like, he's got this unbelievable training regimen.
Yeah. Now, I was going to say, asked former players. I remember specifically DeMarco Murray. I asked him about having that kind of workload and if it affects you the next season. And I can't remember the other ones I've asked, but every time I've asked someone, they've said no. But the funny thing is the numbers suggest that those seasons do usually take a toll, but it could just be coincidental. But these players, like, no, they just want the ball. All right. Anything else, guys?
About the top five running backs?
Yeah.
I mean, I can give you a dark horse for the top five, top five finisher. I mean, it's a guy you're going to take in round two, but I think Cam Akers has a shot at 2,000 total yards. He paced for that much based on his last six games, including the playoffs. And I don't know how many catches he's going to have. I think he'd be lucky to have north of 45 in a 17-game season, but I think he will also benefit greatly from having Matthew Stafford under center in L.A.
He's so polarizing because, I mean, you know, he did that without doing anything in the beginning of the season.
He got beat up.
And is he going to get beat up again? I mean, you know, that's the concern.
Yeah.
It's why I said Daryl Henderson. You know, it's another scenario of if the guy who has the chance goes down, then the backup guy could be great. And Daryl Henderson, look, he wasn't as efficient or as prolific as Akers was but he got that work at the beginning of the season. You know, he was getting, you know, double digit carries. He wasn't working as much in the passing game, but at that point when Akers was doing it, Henderson wasn't around. At least Akers was around when Henderson was doing his, you know, big numbers at the start of the season. So it's I mean, Akers could easily do that, you know, and I spoke to him last week, you know, and he was as excited as anybody you could talk to get the chance to, you know, build off what he did at the end of the season. But the two playoff games, which is what a lot of people look at, Henderson didn't play in those games. And so can he be that feature guy without somebody else being there? And the nice thing is Malcolm Brown's gone. The downside is do they like Henderson enough that he's going to be too much of a factor to ruin what Akers can be?
Akers had 11 catches in 14 games. That's going to stand out to people. But he had 30 catches his junior year at Florida State. He can catch the ball. Matthew Stafford, with the Lions, different coaches, different coordinators, he has had a – he had – well, Detroit, let me say this, has had a 50-catch running back 7 of the last 9 seasons. And they've had two other instances where Reggie Bush once, Kerryon Johnson once, have been on pace for 50. So he throws to his running backs, and Akers can do it. We'd like, and they've talked about him. They've talked about using him as a receiver. They've talked about getting him involved in the passing game.
You almost feel a little bit better about him improving his receiving numbers than J.K. Dobbins.
I do. Yeah, I agree.
I think you have to. But, you know, I asked him about that, and he said, you know, that's something that he's hoping is going to come to fruition, you know, that they're going to actually use him more in that, because he did it at Florida State too.
Yeah. And we've seen the Rams do it before. I mean, it was with Gurley back when Gurley was amazing. He caught a ton of footballs. So I think it's possible. Maybe he can get to 50 catches in 17 games.
Yeah, the question is, you can like Cam Akers all you want. Are you really taking him over DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs? I guess you could try to take both.
Yeah, if I want to lock up that running back spot.
Yeah. That just feels like very risky drafting to me.
It's a risk.
Huge risk. Huge risk.
Probably.
Okay.
But what's the drop-off at receiver by the time you're up again in middle, late round three?
I actually think it's fairly significant.
Okay.
Well, what do you think? I mean, you might be able to get
it's... It could be a couple of points a week, which is significant, I guess. But I know we're going to find a receiver. Yeah, I know I'm going to get a receiver that I'm totally fine starting in round 3 and 4.
The question becomes, would you rather have Akers and CeeDee Lamb, or would you rather have Hopkins and Mike Davis?
No.
It'll be a little better than Mike Davis.
Yeah, I think
Hopkins and David Montgomery.
I think, I'll tell you what, if it's Chris Carson, then...
Don't say it.
Is that not different? Because I like Carson better than Mike Davis.
It could be. I mean, it's, you know, you're taking that risk. You know, it's... maybe CeeDee Lamb's probably not the best example because you're talking about two guys that are
could it be Robert Woods or Allen
but if
Robinson?
It's or Amari Cooper, you know, if you're taking Amari Cooper. You know, what Akers could be plus what Amari Cooper has been versus what David Montgomery was last year or Chris Carson was, you know, when he's been healthy, and DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, I think a lot of people probably take the latter.
What would you guys do? Let's look at it.
I would take the former.
I don't know which
Akers
is
first.
All right, so the running backs going...
Akers and then like Cooper, Woods, Allen Robinson, one of those guys, or Hopkins / Diggs in round 2, and then Montgomery or Carson in round 3. I'm taking the guy that's got the best shot at 2,000 total yards.
Well, yeah, wide receiver's not going to do that.
No, these wide receivers that we're talking about are in the, you know, 1,300-yard, 100-catch range.
Who?
Diggs and Hopkins.
Are you not selling them short on their yards a little bit here? We're talking 17 games. I think they get to 1,500 yards.
I would say 1,500 easy.
Okay.
If they're right.
When you combine yards and catches, more than makes up for that.
And which position do you want to, you know, lock up first? And this is sky high. This is the ceiling for everybody.
Maybe it's more reasonable to say that
the receiver can hit that. It's more reasonable to say that one of these receivers can get you 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns and 100 catches versus Cam Akers getting 2,000 total.
That's my point.
I think the thing is, though, you control your own destiny a little bit more because you can take one of these running backs in the range that you know you're going to get them, whereas you have to hope to get a Carson or a Montgomery if they're still there with somebody else doesn't snipe you, and then you're settling for a Mike Davis or a Chase Edmonds, as opposed to, you know, there's that large group of wide receivers.
Yeah.
Whether it's the unproven CeeDee Lamb or Ja'Marr Chase or whatever guy you're going to, you know, throw in that range, or it's the Robert Woods or Allen Robinson or Mike Evans, right, or Chris Godwin or those guys, and you're pairing them with what those running backs and the hope that they can be. There's obviously more risk with the running backs. That's always going to be the case.
Yeah. I find it funny that Akers, I understand that Jonathan Taylor was destined to be everybody's favorite year two running back. Totally makes sense. I find it interesting that Akers has just become number two. You know, does anybody have a different running back ranked ahead? I think Heath has Swift ahead of Akers in PPR.
I have the rankings up, I can tell you. In PPR?
Yeah.
In PPR, Heath has...
I mean, I've got Najee ahead of Swift. I've got Antonio Gibson ahead of Swift.
But just ahead PPR. Ahead of Swift.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the top 200. Heath has...
I just think it's interesting that people are so.
Heath has no Akers ahead of Swift.
Okay.
It was interesting though. This Fantasy Pros podcast that I did, Swift fell to the third round. And was so Kyle Yates, one of the analysts on Fantasy Pros, he took Chris Carson ahead of Swift, and he said he's concerned about the offense being bad, Jared Goff being bad, Jamal Williams being a problem in the passing game for Swift. And, you know, brought up a lot of the concerns that I think a lot of people have, on top of the fact that they still may sign Todd Gurley, who they brought in for, to work out. So if, in fact, there's another mouth to feed there, you know, Swift could be a little bit of a risk. But, you know, he, you know, was on pace for over 50 catches last year. We saw the touchdowns. We saw what he was able to do once they finally let him be the lead running back there. So there's a lot to like about him. But I could see Gibson being better. I mean, look, there's... This group, and I just finished writing a story for our magazine about this group. This group has bust potential written all over it. I mean, you know, from Taylor with, as Dave said, Marlon Mack and Nyheim Hines being on passing downs. And look, the schedule was great for Taylor down the stretch, but now there's a volatile quarterback as opposed to a calming presence at quarterback. And, you know, what happens if Carson Wentz stinks again? Akers, you know, we just brought up, you know, Adam, you said the reception total, and if Henderson is there, Gibson is still trying to work his way into learning the running back position, and they have a guy who can catch passes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a bust in the second half of the season when they brought somebody else in. Who's to say they don't bring somebody else in? Dobbins doesn't catch the ball, at least as of now. You know, so you can see the bust potential for that group, and it's going to be the group, I think, that decides fantasy in a lot of ways.
100%. I was about to say that. Yep.
And you know, like I did some research on this, like just looking at comparative classes. The only one that comes close in the last 10 years is the 2017 class, which was Fournette, McCaffrey, Aaron Jones,
Was that Kamara? The Cook Mixon or no?
I don't know. Let me find it.
I thought it was.
It was you know, that group and that group continues to produce, you know. So but in terms of what they did as rookies and sophomores.
Yeah, they are gonna, I mean, they're all being drafted so early, these sophomore running backs, they're gonna have a huge impact on fantasy outcomes. Let's see, running backs in 2017
draft did have Cook.
Right, Fournette, McCaffrey, Cook, Mixon, Kamara, Kareem Hunt. Holy cow. Deontay Foreman, James Conner. You had Samaje Perine, Tariq Cohen, Jamal Williams, Marlon Mack later. Aaron Jones
As rookies, I just did the ones that finished in the top 20. Fournette was 8. Year 2, he was 12. This is PPR and points per game. McCaffrey was 15. He was 3 in his second year. Cook, even though he played 4 games, was number 9. He was 18 his second year. Injuries were a problem, obviously, for both those years. Kamara was 4-4 both seasons. Hunt was 5-8, and that was 11 games the next year. But that also had James Conner as well in that class.
So that you'd have to say they were pretty successful as your two backs.
That's the best class that I've seen. You know, and again, I just went back to 2010 and looking at that. What I did was I looked at the running backs drafted in the first 3 rounds. Guys that finished in the top. I'm sorry, I did top 30 in points per game and how they did the following season. But that's the only group that had guys that finished in both categories multiple year over year, as many as that group did. So this group can be good, and they didn't have as many finish in the top 30 points per game. You know, Cam Akers was a disaster in terms of his overall points because he was so bad in the beginning, right. And he didn't exactly miss a lot of time.
Right, right. Okay, we're going to take a break, do some news and notes when we come back, and Jamie's going to read some funny tweets. We'll be right back. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, news and notes. So I wanted to ask you guys about the Jaguars running back situation. You know, when you talk about who should be the second best rookie running back, let's just take the guy who was consistent from week one all season long, basically, James Robinson. No, but it does seem like Robinson's going to have a nice role. So give me your thoughts on Jacksonville situation. And also Vic Fangio, the Broncos head coach, he even talked about Mike Boone being part of the running back conversation. I don't know if you put any stock into that. Dave, give me your thoughts on Jacksonville.
Robinson's kind of climbing up my board a little bit as someone who I'm okay taking, maybe even as high as round seven.
He's not going there. That's the problem.
Where's he going?
Five.
Yeah, that's too early. So
right.
Maybe I'm just behind the curve on this, and maybe eventually I'll warm up to that ADP.
I don't think so. I think you're
no.
To me, round seven is right. Like I'd say round six is probably.
I mean, there was a point where we were talking about like round nine and round ten for him, where we were just leaving him on the side of the road. But
yeah, first off, training camp's going to be big for that team, and whatever they show us in any preseason action, because if they use ETN strictly as a receiver, then round five may be too low. You know, he might be a round three guy based on what he showed us last year. But if they are going to use ETN like they should, which is using them both in the backfield, Robinson should still be very good. It's just he's not going to obviously come close to what he did last year when he was averaging 3.5 catches per game. He had 49 catches on the season, but he missed the final two games of the year. He was awesome. He was absolutely fantastic. And it's funny because I spoke to him for this magazine story, and one of the PR guys for the Jaguars asked me, oh, is this going to be he wants to know, is this going to be like a rank list? And I said, no, it's not going to be a rank list of the second-year running backs. I'm just doing a story on it. But when you rank him in this group, he's behind the top six. You know, there are six standout guys that are going in the first 26 overall picks based on NFC from May through June. And he's the next guy, you know. But is he closer to that group, or is he closer to, let's say, Zach Moss and A.J. Dillon, who are the next two? Dillon's actually going ahead of Moss, you know, depending on how you feel about Zach Moss. But, you know, which group is he closer to? Is he closer to the superstars, or is he closer to the maybes? And Dillon is a different maybe than Moss, because Moss can be, you know, good on his own. But Robinson, I think, is, if he was going two rounds later, like you said, Dave, round seven.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But he's going in a range that just
number
doesn't
three
make
running
sense.
Back you're happy
is
with.
He going ahead of Javonte Williams?
Yes.
Should he be going ahead of Javonte Williams?
No.
All right.
He's going ahead of Michael Carter, too. I don't like that. He's going ahead of Raheem Mostert. I don't like that either.
I said Minnesota for Mike Boone. He's not on Minnesota anymore. Denver coach Vic Fangio talking about Mike Boone. Do we care about this?
I think they're starting to prefer a multi-back approach. I don't think they want to lean on just one guy.
Well, yeah, we know that. But is it going to be a three-back approach or a two-back approach?
I think Mike Boone is like Malcolm Brown. You know, so
he's going to mess things up for everybody.
He's going to be a little bit of a problem early. If this also could be motivating Javonte Williams too. You know, hey, you're not guaranteed to be the second guy. You got to come in and prove it. And Melvin Gordon, you're not necessarily going to be the featured guy. You know, we have two other guys now that can take your job away. So I was looking at before the draft Mike Boone as a sleeper, because Melvin Gordon, we saw last year, banged up a little bit, getting older. They brought him in. And Mike Boone, I know, was everybody's a failure, you know, week 16, 2 years ago. But he still has the opportunity to, in the right situation, produce. It's just not going to be getting enough touches if everybody's healthy. It's 17 games, though. You're going to hear this a lot. They need a lot of running backs.
It's true.
It's the type of position that you're going to have a lot of bodies.
And so on that team, who's the best running back, talent-wise?
I think when you factor in age, I'm going to take Javonte Williams.
Me too. So I'm taking him over Gordon.
I don't think that's
a shock. And I think that he'll be the best one. I think you'll be happiest with him, even though there might be some games, even with Melvin Gordon's hurt, where he's only getting you 15 touches.
I love the highlights, though.
I was taking him over Gordon since the night of the draft, the second night of the draft.
The only reason why you take Melvin is because you're going zero RB and you want somebody that can start maybe the first couple of games. And that's assuming that he is the starter, and it's assuming that he makes the team and all that stuff in Denver. But I mean, the traffic light will change, and eventually Javonte will be the one there. It's just a matter of
who making the final roster, Boone or Gordon?
Gordon. Boone's going to make it.
Oh, Gordon's making the final roster.
I think he is. What if he absolutely sucks?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was pretty good last year. Just I don't know if it's a cap situation or I don't know what they would save if they cut him. But all right, that's pretty much all I got in terms of news. What's going on with the tweets, Jamie?
Oh my gosh, this is hysterical. So I mentioned this on Monday show that I was going to give away two spots to mock draft with us for our draft Tuesday night. So you see the tweet here if you're watching on the YouTube page. I said I need two people who are already in the Scott Fishbowl 11 who want to do a mock draft with us, but reply here with the fictional dad you like better out of John McClane and Mrs. Doubtfire. And we obviously talked about this on Monday show. And that conversation continued off air as Adam and I were texting about who's the better father, John McClane or Mrs. Doubtfire. So I'll read you a few of these. This one seems to be getting a lot of traction from Maddie Daddy 247. Mrs. Doubtfire with 5 stars. Well, I hope you're up for a little competition. She's got a power tool in the bedroom, dear. If you would
yes.
My first day as a woman, I'm getting hot flashes. Too many good scenes by a comedian like any other makes everything better and relatable. And then a couple people posted the what's a better line than hello when with the greeting.
Hello. Yeah.
Where's another one that I liked? There's a lot.
Mrs. Doubtfire is crushing these comments. It appears.
Mrs. Doubtfire is getting a lot of love. Matt Donnelly, who I'm actually doing his podcast on Monday night, he wrote, "Come on, we've all had that conversation in the playground. That man's dad can beat up your dad. pretty sure this would be no contest." The Joey Wright, who's a friend of the program,
Joey.
He wrote, "Mrs. Doubtfire, because the way he throws the line means he's probably good at having catch. Also, he's willing to do anything just to be with the kids." The answer is Mrs. Doubtfire. He let his kids listen to House of Pain and have a horse in the house. Then to make sure he got to spend time with
his
kids.
Well, wait a second. That was Daniel Hillard who allowed that. That wasn't Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, I mean, the same dad.
Yeah, but
same person.
I guess. All right, I'll allow it. Team Doubtfire. So did you pick your winners yet?
No, I didn't. I'm probably going to pick somebody who picked both. I got a couple of these, John McClane, because he taught me how to keep my cool while I wait until round 8 to draft a wide receiver and make fists with your toes.
That's good. I like that.
Somebody wrote John McClane, Mrs. Doubtfire's actions are honestly a little creepy. And John McClane is basically a badass Santa. John McClane, every Father's Day, he should get a card from Holly saying, thanks for saving me from terrorists twice. a lot of Die Hard is a Christian movie. Mrs. Doubtfire, less chance of getting shot, definitely spends more time with the kids. The clothing options appear to be much more variety over a white tank top, pants, and no shoes. But there's definitely some risk with Mrs. Doubtfire, and it's a gif of her burning herself while cooking.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Somebody wrote one, I didn't see it, but about the ability to show your children that you can be both a man and a woman, or doing the job of mom, I think is what it said. And somebody wrote, it's McClane. As much as I adore and miss the hell out of Robin Williams, I can't help but still say yippee-ki-yay MF-er when I'm about to flip a steak or picture Hans Gruber falling from Nakatomi Plaza when I drop my phone.
That is a diehard fan right there.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. Check out Jamie's tweet and comment. And I think I tweeted this last time I saw the movie, which is only a few weeks ago, but you can't. Somebody, I challenge you, tell me a better comedic performance than the dinner scene, than Robin Williams in the dinner scene. I was
pretty
blown
excellent.
Away by how good it was. I don't even know that I ever realized how good he was. I really, as someone who doesn't drink and has never been drunk, I hate when people act drunk. I hate when actors act drunk. He is so good. He nails it. He's very convincing in the stages of how drunk he gets.
He was probably drunk.
Probably. I mean, he just nailed it and he didn't go over the top. And I just think that whole thing is a masterpiece. I think it is the best comedic acting I have ever seen, that one scene. So I'd love to hear your thoughts if there's anything.
Let me share with you our texts.
Oh, God.
Because they were funny. What did you say? I told you that I was doing 5 podcasts today. And you said, wow, not even Father of the Year John McClane has done that many shows in a day. And I said, he spends time with his kids, unlike Mrs. Doubtfire. And you wrote, that's exactly what Mrs. Doubtfire does. And I said, not while she's acting. Remember, she took a show at the end of the movie to be away from her kids. And you wrote, John McClane lived such a disgusting low-class life. Of course, his son followed in his footsteps. Great job, John, putting your kids at risk. And so I wrote that Mrs. Doubtfire got divorced, burned her boobs, poisoned a man, and no wonder her name has doubt in it. And I said, poisoned James Bond, no less.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, we went there. It was good. It was a pretty good text. No comments from Schrager the entire time.
Yes.
Jamie,
and then I asked you if your kids were attacked at by a terrorist at a Christmas party, which dad would you rather have?
And I said the one who would entertain the terrorists to death.
That's right. It's very clever.
Yes. All right. That's good stuff. That's Jamie. That's me and Jamie for much of our time. Okay. Let me read some emails here before we go. I'm just going to read them straight out of the inbox. Hopefully they're good. This is from Daniel from Seattle. Do you think any of you might be low on Stafford? From McVay himself, bro, this dude's a bad yippee-ki-yay bleeper, you know. This dude's a bad bleeper. Whatever people say about him, as good as it can be, he's even better than advertised. That's what McVay said, apparently.
What would you guess right now Stafford's ADP is among quarterbacks? Forget the round. Forget the draft.
Like, where does he rank?
Rank in
13,
quarterback?
13.
He is higher than that.
12.
He is higher than that.
4.
No,
lower than that. He is 10. 10.
Too high.
But yeah, once you start getting past, you know, right now he's going ahead of Tannehill, which I think will change. He's going ahead of Jalen Hurts, I think.
I don't like that.
He's going ahead of Brady, I believe.
Don't like that.
But he's in that group. I think he's in that conversation.
Okay. Next email is from Kyle. 12-team PPR. I start 2 running backs and 2 wide receiver / tight end spots. And 1 wide receiver, tight end, running back, regular flex spots. I have picked 12 and 13. I think the best players available will be Taylor, Akers, Harris, Mixon, Ridley, Diggs, and Kelsey. What would you do?
Taylor
and Kelsey.
Yeah, Taylor and Kelsey. I'm not sure. Oh, because he doesn't have to start a tight end. Okay, so never mind then. I don't think I'd take Kelsey. It's PPR. Mm. He's got 2 running back spots, 2 wide receiver / tight end spots, which are probably going to be tight ends, or probably going to be wide receivers, and 1 flex.
So what are the options again?
Yeah, Taylor is going to be a yes. Akers, Harris, Mixon, Ridley, Diggs, Kelsey.
I'm still kind of tempted to go with Kelsey. Just because of the consistency that he's given.
You think he's going to be, he'd have to outscore Ridley and Diggs.
There's obviously the upside is higher with a lot of the other players that are on there.
And this is not a 3 receiver league. This is a 2 receiver league with a flex. So you could, take 2 running backs.
You could.
Yeah, I'd probably go Harris.
I'd take Akers over Harris. To me, it's either Akers or Kelsey.
Okay. I don't know why you'd go Kelsey over Diggs or Ridley.
Yeah, I would rather have Diggs Ridley than Kelsey, but I would take Harris over all of them.
At that point, it's just who's going to score more points. It has nothing to do with position scarcity.
Right.
Right? Okay. Now, he might score more points. He was pretty damn good last year. Top 4 wide receiver, I think.
He was better on a per-game basis in PPR than Diggs by a third of a point last year.
Wow. All right, keeper decision from Daniel. 10-team, half PPR. I can only keep the player for 1 season. 2 receiver league. Kelsey in the 3rd, Ridley in the 6th, Josh Allen in the 15th.
And only keeping 1?
Yeah.
Kelsey in the 3rd is just so hard to give up.
Kelsey in the 3rd, Ridley in the 6th, Allen in the 15th.
They are all really tough. I feel like Ridley, how long can you keep him for? Does it say?
1 year.
Oh, it's only 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
It's Kelsey.
Okay. Let's go to Jacob, whose email says, all hail Daniel Jones, the greatest athlete of all time.
He wanted it to be read on the air.
You Success. Have no idea how many Daniel Jones subject lines I get now. And the emails are never about Daniel Jones.
We see him.
Okay. Dave, let's check your history here. Jake from a town that Ohio and Michigan fought over.
There's a town that they fought over?
Apparently.
So it's got to be like right on the border. I don't know if I know any border towns between them.
Okay.
You got me. I'm stumped. What is it?
No idea. Dear Peter Dear Robert, Peter, Archie, and Blake. I also don't know who they are.
Robert, Peter, Archie, and Blake.
Maybe Ohio State. I don't know. Archie Griffin. He's from Ohio.
Toledo.
Okay.
Is apparently the town.
Okay. Commissioner.
Early 1800s.
Wow. Love to see that documentary. I'm the commissioner of a new 12-team Dynasty League. Everyone in the league is new to Dynasty, but fairly experienced in redraft. None of us really know how to value draft picks. I'd like to trade my first-round pick in the startup draft. I'm the sixth pick. How many picks should I be looking for in return? Tough question.
I'm sorry, say again?
He's in a startup Dynasty draft. This is a brand-new Dynasty League. Nobody has Dynasty experience, so he wants to know what his sixth overall pick is worth. And this is not a rookie draft. This is a startup dynasty draft. He wants to trade his sixth overall pick. How many picks should he be looking for in return?
Wants to trade sixth overall.
What should he want back? So, like, certainly you'd want a second round pick back. You'll probably want to do something like a 2 and a 3 for your 1 and your 6.
Yeah, unless you could still trade in the first round.
I would not want to trade out of the first round in a startup dynasty league.
Well, I mean, if you're getting 2 twos or, you know, maybe 2 twos, 2 threes.
Right.
You're 2 and another 2. I mean, you know, so.
Yeah, getting
somebody's second, somebody's third.
A little scary.
It's like I don't know if I do 1 and 6 for 2 and 3. I'd probably do like 1 and 8 for 2 and 3.
All right, Jacob, thank you very much for the email. And thank you all for listening. Back tomorrow with the top 5 wide receivers on Fantasy Football Today. See ya.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.